All right, our spiritual gifts, continuing in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm not going to read the whole chapter again. I think we've read it many, many times, but so we won't read all of it. Been looking at the ESV commentary. Some Paul mentions 9 gifts in the beginning, 8 gifts at the end. And last week, if you weren't here, or if you were here, just kind of quick review. You know, Paul's lists aren't exhaustive, all right? He's not trying to list every spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit can give out. I think he's focused on the ones that the Corinthians were more focused on. So he's bringing those out. We said the gifts don't occur in any specific order here or in other places in the New Testament. So it's not some hierarchical listing of giftings or anything. All of the gifts are important. All of them are needed. That's why I think Paul spends the middle of chapter 12 talking about one body with many members and how all the members are needed and necessary for the body. So whether you're the little toe or the little pinky or the nose or the eye or the brain, whatever you are, they're all important to God in the body of Christ. You know, number 3, we said, you know, not every Christian has every gift. We said the ability, natural ability, doesn't necessarily match your maturity or spiritual ability or spiritual maturity and ability. We had a little conversation on that last week. You know, I think the point here is that, you know, we can grow in our gifts. We mature in our gifts. Are given a gift, and then we grow in that. We mature in that, and it can blossom and become greater in them. Troy brought up a great point with prophet, priest, and king, and how we relate to those 3 categories as well. All right, so for the first 4 gifts, Paul repeats that the Spirit's the one who empowers the gifts. He does this in order to emphasize it, just similar to how we might, you know, type something in bold, or we italicize it, we highlight it, we, you know, underline it, whatever it is. You know, I think he's just kind of going back, repeating these there. You know, we have no concrete evidence how Paul, you know, intended to group the 9 gifts. Perhaps it was 4 groupings. You know, the commentator here says advice, you know, the gifts 1 and 2, miracles 3 through 5, prophecy, tongues were, you know, the gifts 8 and 9. So just really trying to just study them and trying to see, is there any organization, any way we can kind of look at how Paul put them out there and figure it out a little bit better. So just something to think about. You know, Paul doesn't really expound on it much more than that. He just throws them out there and says, you know, mentions them as he goes through. Paul does save prophecy and tongues for last. Those are gifts 6 through 9. And the thought there is that it's probably because they were the primary gifts that he's addressing to the Corinthians, the ones that they were struggling with the most. You know, the tongues, not because, you know, it's least valuable, but I think that was probably the most divisive gift that the Corinthians were struggling with. And it's still one of those very divisive gifts that we struggle with today in many, many churches, with many believers as well. Trying to just determine or, you know, state that that's, you know, necessary for maturity, necessary to prove, you know, that we're either saved or full of the Spirit or whatever, and that, you know, it is more important than the other gifts. Then 8, Paul doesn't precisely define each gift. I think 2-3 weeks ago, we tried to give a definition or try to define them, but, you know, Paul doesn't do that. You know, as we're reading through that, he's not really defining exactly what he means or what he is including in them, whether, you know, the different ones that he mentions. You know, the gifts of healing and gifts of prophecy and all that. He's not specifying or defining them for us. But again, was that his point? No. You know, he's not trying to teach what a gift is and how to use it, he's combating the fact that the Corinthians are divided over their giftings, and that they're trying to lift some above others and make some people look or feel bad because they're not as important or don't have the same gifts that they have, and trying to make them, you know, add a gift that they haven't been gifted with, kind of idea. So Paul's point is that the Holy Spirit's the one that gives the gifts. He is the one that, you know, gives each of us the gift that God sees fit for us to have. And then, you know, we are to use that through his power, through his guidance and direction. All right, so then, you know, we haven't looked at this yet, did we? No. Did we kind of define the gifts a few weeks back? Somewhat? Does anybody remember that? Maybe I've just been staring at this so long I thought we already had. But, all right, so the utterance of wisdom and knowledge, a lot of these are kind of grouped together. You know, Paul separates them. You know, you have the gift of wisdom and then the gift of knowledge. But, you know, the commentator here is trying to pull them together a little bit and maybe group them a little bit better. So this gift or utterance of wisdom and knowledge, you know, more than likely, it was the ability to give wise and knowledgeable advice in specific situations, all right? And trying to, you know, when someone has a problem, when someone has an issue, you have the wisdom or, you know, past, you know, whatever, you know, however we can try and describe that or define that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit gives you perhaps knowledge that you didn't have before to help them. You know, and we've maybe talked about that. You know, if you've ever had a counseling situation or if someone come to you and ask you for counsel and, you know, you really have no idea what you're going to say, you know, as they're sharing it to you. And then, you know, they stop talking and it's your turn and you have to open your mouth and say something. And then words just start coming out. And at the end, you have the thought, wow, I didn't know that I knew that. And you realize that was just the Holy Spirit speaking through me. So I would, you know, that's the only, that's how I can kind of imagine that or see that. Anybody else have a thought on wisdom and knowledge? I'm open. Yep, James?
Well, there's definitely people that have a gift for counseling and people that don't.
Yeah.
I would agree, yes.
Some people are good teachers.
Right.
Horrible counselors.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I know folks like that. They are awesome teachers and can really dig into the word and explain it and teach it. But yes, to actually give counsel, you know, that's just, well, you just need to read the word of God, or you just need to whatever and figure it. They can figure it out for themselves and teach it, but they don't really know how to
share it.
Well, they can teach and
apply.
Right, or to help someone else work through something on their own. All right, Troy?
You say wisdom gained is very often judged, right? So one's done a lot of judgment
okay.
Through their life.
So all righty.
Life experience, a lot of
yeah.
Good and bad, right?
Right. All righty. The gift of faith, you know, and we're not talking about salvific faith here, so please, you know, don't go there. With that, but you know, it's the ability to truly trust God in situations that you're going through. And some people, I think, do have a gifting where really no matter what they're faced with, you know, they just have an underlying confidence in God. Where others are more prone to maybe doubt or to really question. Due to, like, you know, insecurities or, you know, and again, we try to process all this from a human side, you know, so we're taking spiritual gifts and we're trying to figure them out as best we can from our own human reasoning process, which is difficult. But we also, you know, we don't have any other way to really doing it other than that. But, you know, there are folks that, you know, whatever comes into their lives, they have that grounding or the gifting of just saying, you know what, God is in control and God's going to make it happen. You know, my dad was very, I think he probably had a gift of faith. You know, no matter what came into his life, it was always God is able. You know, whenever we'd call with a situation or whatever, he'd, you know, was just, well, God is able. You know, God's never late. God's timing's never late. You know, and he just always encouraged us with that. And, you know, he did have also gifts of some wisdom and knowledge and to share with some input there too. But the reminder that God is able to work through the situation or to handle the situation, to make it happen. You know, I tell the story often, you know, when I was my last year in college, getting my master's, Beth and I were engaged to get married. I had interviewed, you know, to come work here, and, you know, they had offered me a job, and they said, you know, give us a call next week. That was before cell phones, so, you know, you're using a pay phone and whatever. So, you know, they were like, you know, call collect. So, you know, I called collect, and, you know, the office picks up, and I get transferred to the associate pastor, and he's like, you know, we got this problem, and, you know, basically it was the job we offered you is no longer available, and you don't have a job. And I'd already turned another job down that I had interviewed for. I learned a lesson in all of that. Don't burn your bridges before you're no. But, you know, I'd already told another church in Florida that I wasn't going to go there. That, you know, I was coming here. And, you know, then all of a sudden it was, you don't have a job. And, you know, my first phone call was to my dad. And, you know, it was, you know, he said, you know, do you have peace? That's where you want to be, or that's where God wanted you to be. And I said, yes, you know, I did. And he said, well, then don't worry about it. God will work it out. Yep. And you'll be there. And it was like a week later, you know, they called me back and offered me a different job, but still, whatever. You know, and that was 35.
Like a week later or something?
It was about a week later. And I've been here for 35 years, so coming up. But, you know, but God is able, you know, and God works, you know, he doesn't work like we see want necessarily, but he is working, in that. The gifts of healing. This was another difficult one, to really figure through, but, you know, helping a sick or wounded person become healthy. Normally when we think of gifts of healing, you know, my mind always runs to, you know, Jesus, you know, you just touch somebody and they get well, or, you know, Peter's shadow walking down the street, you know, if you just, you know, the shadow, you know, touches you or covers you, you know, you're healed. You know, what was Paul talking about that or something different? He doesn't say. Obviously, that's very abnormal, right? I think we would all agree with that, or very supernatural. So I would think that, you know, this idea of really being more, whether it's the compassion or the empathy, the sympathy, the knowledge to know how to help someone that's sick and wounded become healthy, would possibly be a better explanation of that. And, you know, working through that. Jacroix?
Sorry, if take a doctor.
Yeah.
An unbelieving doctor, in all reality, they don't know God. That's the starting point of knowledge. I mean, they may know things that God's created through God's creation, but I would argue a believing doctor would stand more of a chance to actually figure out how to heal somebody that's had like a wicked problem with sickness.
Oh yeah, so, I would agree. That, so. Yeah, I would think that many Christian nurses and physicians, you know, those in the medical profession, I would And, you know, I have several medical people here, professionals. I mean, I would think that maybe your spiritual gifting is more in healing. Would y'all agree, disagree? Yes, Everett? Teresa? No?
Definitely Harold.
Harold, yeah. I'm not saying everyone. I'm sure that, there are those that, are believers and chose the field just because they enjoyed it and they don't feel like that's their spiritual gift necessarily. But I could see where I just from talking with many believers that are in medical professions, I think a lot of them felt called into that by God because they wanted to help people and wanted to really work with, trying to bring healing to them or to minimize their pain and suffering as much as possible within that. So, again, and none of these are like 100% of every, it's not a one-size-fits-all. I mean, it's going to be different for us, for different people. All right, well, that's three. We'll cover six more next week, trying to work through them. And please study, you can look ahead. It's all right now we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So look at that, work through these, and feel free to fight with me next week. I'm fine with that. All righty. Matthew, would you close this in prayer? Outside voice. Amen. Thank you.